Hey, it's Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and this is show number 287. The last show was the E3 press briefing, and we're let me just back up and right off the bat tell you guys this is not a normal show. I have zero interviews. We're not doing any normal features like Name the Game or Xbox 101. We're just talking about E3.
And I haven't slept in a while.
You haven't slept in a while, and I don't know why, but I don't want to hear about that. I'm back from E3. We are recording this. I just got back from E3. You did not go this year.
I did not go.
You were back here working on some stuff. But I figured we would, I wanted to record a show because next week I have to go to Comic-Con. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, have to go to Comic-Con. Wah.
Yes.
I want to go to Comic-Con. I don't have time to go to Comic-Con.
So I'm going down to Comic-Con. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But it's been a heck of a week, hell of a week. And I don't know if you can feel this, but there's just a great amount of relief that Ian and I are feeling right now.
I can feel the relief. I don't know if our listeners can.
And it's not what you think. We just didn't get back from the men's room. What it is
oh, you had to go.
What? I'm just saying is that the relief that you're feeling is the fact that we work on teams that have been working on some super top secret stuff for a long time, and we unveiled that at E3, and now we can talk about it.
It's really nice to be able to finally say, oh, yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, exactly. So
absolutely.
The new Xbox experience, which a lot of people have seen, a lot of people are excited about it. Some people are not quite sold yet, but we'll help you get through that, and we'll help you over the hump. Somebody was saying, why don't you just call this Dashboard 2.0? And I was thinking on the plane ride the other night, it's not really 2.0. What would be the version E? I'm going to ask you.
I'd probably 3.0.
In terms of?
Because the original dashboard on the original Xbox would have to be 1.0.
Right.
Then the interface that the 360 launched with would be 2.0.
That's a good point.
This would be 3.0.
But there's multiple increments along the way.
Yeah, there have been tons of dot releases, like when we added Video Marketplace to the 360.
When we added voice messaging to the original Xbox.
Yep.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do. You sure
Very
do.
Much so.
So this show, we're going to just kind of talk our way through. I was on the ground in E3. E was watching it back here like everyone else. So we're going to kind of exchange and share stories. I was invited to the Sony and Nintendo press briefings. I could only get to the Sony one. I couldn't get to the Nintendo one. Because I had too much to do. Because I'm working.
You're working, Dan.
I mean, if you look, I think we had something like 12 or 14 videos posted up on Inside Xbox and Xbox.com.
There was a lot of stuff on Inside Xbox. I did find time to watch, I don't know, maybe half of it.
What was your favorite video?
Oh, boy.
The one where they left me?
What?
Yeah, there's one left. You haven't seen that one.
Okay, that I've got to go look now.
Okay.
Major but, gets ditched.
Yeah, you'll see that one.
Okay.
So, no, we did a bunch of videos. We were down there in the show floor. It was a good time was had by all. You want to just jump in and go to the briefings? First of all, one of the announcements that preceded the briefings were we have a new 60 gig SKU coming out.
That's right.
So that'll be coming online over the next few months.
So the existing Xbox 360 with the 20 gig hard drive,
right?
Price is dropping from $349 in the U.S. to $299.
It's not a price. Overall, it's not a price drop. We're just changing things around a little bit.
Right. This is a while supplies last kind of thing.
Yes.
And it'll be replaced by a model at the same price point, but with a 60 gig hard drive instead of a 20.
Mm-hmm. So that's coming online, like I say, over the next few months. By the end of the summer, it'll be in stores near you.
I think I saw August, September.
Yeah, so maybe by August, September, it'll be in storage near you. So that was Sunday night, and then Monday morning, I was down in L.A. from Friday. I'm sorry, last Saturday until the past Friday. Or
right.
Thursday.
Yeah, well, just about Friday.
Yeah, just
when
about
you IM'd me when you got home, it was definitely Friday.
Yeah, it was pretty late. No one wants to hear about my travel ordeals as usual. I will tell you a funny GPS story, a really funny GPS story that I've not shared with you. I've been waiting to tell you this story.
Okay,
but let's go through the press briefing.
Okay,
so Monday, Monday we had the press briefing. It was at 10:30 in the morning. Microsoft press briefing. We're going to do these in order that they appeared.
Yes, okay, chronologically.
Microsoft was first. Nintendo was second. Sony was third. Now I'm going to lean. Go ahead.
Well, within each press briefing, we are going to wander aimlessly.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go chronologically in the individual press briefing.
Mm-hmm. And this is by no means a deep, exhaustive discussion. This is two guys sitting in an office with microphones. Okay,
is that what this is?
This is not. You're not going to get expert analysis here.
Oh, No.
We just want to be clear on that one.
Has anyone ever called us an expert?
No. But I just want to make sure to put that right up front. So the Microsoft press briefing, you know, we have a list of our announcements here. When I started seeing what some of those announcements were, I was like, wow, that's big. And I get to the next one. Whoa, that's big. Hey, that's even bigger. We had some pretty significant announcements. Do you want to go through them, me?
Yeah, sure. The one thing I want to point out is that, I mean, we announced a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is I think we pretty well covered the spectrum where if announcement A mm-hmm. is something that personally you may not care a whole bunch about,
right.
there's a bunch of other ones that probably there is one in there that you're going to
further like. Down the line, so absolutely.
We didn't just hit like one type of announcement.
Yeah, we were all over the map. You know, it depends who you are, but you know, to your point, a lot of announcements, but certain ones resonated more with certain people. I talked to some people at E3 that the Final Fantasy 13 announcement was like the biggest thing ever.
Oh yeah.
And then I talked to another group of people where the Netflix announcement was the biggest thing ever.
Yep.
And then I talked to people like maybe on the blog or in the forums, and that the new Xbox experience was the biggest announcement ever. So really, it depends what we had something for everybody.
Yep, absolutely.
You want to go through? We've got so the new Xbox experience. You want to talk about that first?
Sure. I mean, the thing that seems to have grabbed the most attention in terms of chatter from friends and comments I've read on your website and other places mm-hmm. Are avatars.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because we didn't really show a lot of avatars. I don't know how many minutes of avatars were on stage, but it wasn't a lot, maybe a couple.
Relatively speaking, you're right.
And then we released some other videos that actually do a really nice job. I saw one high-def trailer walkthrough of the new dashboard that was 4 or 5 minutes long
mm-hmm.
that Steve Willett annotated. That was great.
Yep.
But there's so much to avatars that people haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And the customization is really cool.
And I want to say right away, if you don't like the avatars, they're not required. You can use your gamer pictures.
And yes, you can still your existing gamer pictures and themes still work.
They still mean something in this new world.
Yes, they are not going away.
Right. The other thing I want to point out is, do you want to keep going down the list? Because I got a bunch of things I got
to
say.
Well, the one thing I want to point out about avatars is developers, if they choose to, can do some really cool things. Like, you can, if you're into that kind of thing, you can do things like customize, dress your avatar, all that kind of stuff. If games want to, like, hey, if you finish the game, you get a t-shirt for your avatar with the game logo.
Right.
Something like that. There's some really cool things that game developers can do to allow you to have your avatar show off the things you're proud of.
Yeah, I was looking at, we'll talk about Fallout 3 in a minute, but I was looking with Fallout 3, I was talking with Todd Howard, and Todd was like, hey, I want to talk to you about avatars. Do you think we can maybe get, you know, maybe there's a little hazmat suit for Fallout 3 we can make? I'm like, sure, why not?
Oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I know that a lot of the developers are thinking about it, you know, ways that we can use them as rewards, and like the achievements and the gamer score works.
I love the idea of having like the achievement that I'm most proud of at the moment.
Right.
As like on the, you know, somewhere on my avatar, t-shirt, whatever.
Right.
I just think that'd be I've got a
feature request in for something like that. It's like that, but it's a little bit better.
Oh, of course.
Trust me.
Because it's Major's idea.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying it's like that. Yeah, so avatars, you know, we talked about themes. I have some screenshots up on the blog at majornelson.com what themes could look like in the new Xbox experience.
Right. And personally, I think they look better this way than the old one.
Okay, that's fair.
Because they're not in the background necessarily. They don't have other text or graphics on top of them.
Right, they're a little bit cleaner.
So yeah.
The other thing is, so we talked about the avatars. There's a lot of things that people have seen that we've been talking about. And what we did was, I was talking with some of the team here, specifically Mark Whitten, and those of you that you've probably gotten to know Mark Whitten fairly well over the past week or so. He gave me a letter to post on the blog, and you can go off and see that. But there's a whole bunch of other features that we're adding to the update that probably you didn't notice because they weren't really mentioned in the briefing. But for a lot of really, you know, I really hate the term hardcore, but you know, for lack of a better term, that's what I'm going
to
use.
Well, how about we describe it this way? For the people who are listening to this podcast,
fair point. Good point.
There's a really good chance they're excited about
it. So there's a couple things we're going to be introducing into the update, and that'll be out later this year. It's definitely shipping this year. It's going to be out later this year. We have this new feature called Play from Hard Drive.
which is so cool.
You are going to be able to essentially copy your game from the game disc and play it directly off your existing hard drive. So not only is the CD-ROM not going to spin,
DVD-ROM,
the DVD-ROM, but it's going to, load times are quicker, and you're still going to need the disc, you know, because it's going to do a check disc to make sure you have it when you start up.
Yes.
But after that, it's done. And you're running right off the drive.
Right. Now, the really cool thing about this, and kudos to the guys who figured this out, is this works with all Xbox 360 games.
Right.
The game doesn't know what's going on. It's not a feature where it's, oh, this only works with new games.
No, this is every single game all the way back to...
PDZ.
PDZ.
Yep. Halo 3, Cameo. Call of Duty 4, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh, it's great.
And I was talking with some of the developers. It also works really slick with multi-disc games.
Oh, yeah. And it's flexible, too, which is the part that blew me away.
Right.
You if you had a four-disc game,
right,
you could choose to install just disc 1 and 3 to the hard drive, and right, it would work just fine.
Right. Yeah, so it's really quite intelligent. So, and that's completely optional. It's not like, and let me be very clear, it's not an install to hard drive. It's not like you're going to have, this is not mandatory.
You will never have to do this in order to play the game.
If you don't want to do this, you don't have to do it. You can just fire up the game and away you go.
Right.
So that's one of the cool features that's coming up. We're also adding the team that I work on, the Xbox.com team, we're adding Marketplace to the web. So you're going to be able to browse and purchase Marketplace content whenever you want from Xbox.com, and then if your Xbox is on, it's going to automatically start pushing it to the console.
I am such a huge fan of this, because people who listen regularly have heard me talk about like remote scheduling of recording of TV shows.
Right.
I love being able to do that because you're in a meeting, you're at work, you're at lunch, whatever, and you think, oh, wow, I really want that thing.
Right.
And to be able to go to Xbox.com and then have it on your console, that's amazing.
I'm excited for two reasons. One is exactly for the reasons you just discussed.
I know where you're going.
Number two is this means I'm never going to have to post Marketplace stuff on the blog again because it's all going to be automated. You can just pick up an RSS feed off Xbox.com.
Yeah, Xbox.com will show the exact same thing that you'll see in the dashboard as far as what content's available.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank God. So excited about that. The Xbox Live Primetime, which is a whole new category of games, is going to give you more reasons to be online with your friends. So it's basically game shows. The game is going to be broadcast simultaneously. Everyone's going to answer the same questions, and you're going to be able to to win real prizes.
Well, not you and me.
Not you and I.
Listeners who don't work for us.
And I have to be very clear. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. I'm working on seeing if I can host one of them. I'm working on seeing if I can host one of the game shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to do this.
Does that mean I get to co-host a game show?
Maybe it is. I don't know. And that's a good point. Okay. I'll have to look at that.
Now, what kind of game show would it be?
But I don't know. But all I know is I'm really excited about it. There's a few things I have in my life. One of them is, you know, maybe host a game show. Seeing The Who in a small theatrical venue, I can check that off my list. I'll tell you about that later.
Now, could you sign off your Xbox Live Primetime show with, this is a Mark Goodson, Bill Todman.
Yeah, exactly. If I can do that, then that'll be great. So Xbox Live Primetime, more details will be coming out on that soon. Avatars, we talked a lot about Avatars.
Ooh, this, I
you want to take this one?
I love this
one. Okay, go ahead.
The live party system.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that.
Is that not the next one?
Yeah, that is the next one. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is so cool in so many ways, and I get the impression some people are going to have to actually use it to get just how cool it is.
Okay.
Let me give it a try, though. Basically, you can create a party of up to 8 players from the dashboard. You no longer need a game to get into a party.
Right.
So you and 7 of your friends can get into this party, and you can be chatting and doing whatever, and then you can decide, hey, you know what? Let's go play Gears of War 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the party leader says, let's play Gears of War 2, and everyone automatically moves into Gears of War 2. If the disc isn't in the drive, it'll say, hey, give me the disc.
Well, they also have to, I mean, people are going to have to agree to do it. It's not like the party leader. It's not like a mob, and they're going to say, you have to go now, and it's going to like take over your box and start up Gears.
Exactly. But it basically lets you assemble your friends, decide, hey, what game do we want to play tonight?
Right.
Go into that game as a group, and then you could play Gears 2 for a couple of hours, and then decide, you know what? Okay, we're done with Gears 2. We want to go play another game and stay together as that same party and move as a group. You don't have to go create a new party, send out invites.
Right. It just kind of keeps you all together. It's persistent.
Yeah. It's great.
The other thing is, like, suppose only 4 of you want to play Gears and the other 4 want to play Uno. You can still voice chat, but you're going to be playing two different games.
Right.
You know, anybody, it's any combination of those eight people can be basically doing any combination of what they want.
Right.
It's going to be confusing, but
that's the other big piece of this. For people who've been saying, hey, I want more than two player chat. Well, now we have it. You'll be able to get eight people in a persistent chat that doesn't require you to be doing the same thing. You can be, you know, watching a Netflix movie, which we'll talk about.
Yep.
You can be watching something from Video Marketplace. You can be watching a DVD, playing Gears, whatever, and you can all still talk to each other.
And the key here is that this party system is going to work with every single Xbox 360 game. So all the way back, we were talking about, you know, PDZ or Cameo. So you're going to be, not that Cameo had multiplayer, but I mean, if you wanted, it had co-op. If you wanted to go back to PDZ, all the developers, it's not like they're going to have to title update. We've taken care of everything on the system level side. They don't have to do anything. We're going to basically immediately have party support for every single title in the platform that supports it, supports multiplayer.
Yes, which is I love when we're able to do that and we don't have to, you know, somehow fracture it. It's only for new games. And sometimes, you know, technically that's the only way to do it. But the guys here and gals are so good at creatively coming up with ways to make it work for everything.
Yeah, so we're really excited about the live party system. So it's great. You can go into the dashboard. You can do whatever you want. I mean, just think about all the great. You can actually have four different groups of co-op going on a two-person co-op game. Think about that.
Yeah, which it could be the same game in your trading strategies, or you could all be doing different stuff.
Yeah, or you can just all be in one game. Who knows? It's completely up to you. So there's a lot of things going on there. We've got two more big ones. We talked about avatars earlier, but new display support.
Yes.
Because you asked for it, we are adding 16:10 over VGA or HDMI and support for 1440x900 or 1680x1050.
Yes. And to be clear, those are the two resolutions at which 16:10 will work.
Yep.
But that's far and away the majority of 16:10 displays out there.
Yeah. So this is the team has gone to the GPU and done. Remember they were explaining this to us?
Yeah.
And you and I was like, what?
It's
frame
really
buffer
cool.
What?
The way they made this work and how the letterboxing works so that nothing gets stretched.
Right.
And it's really, really slick.
Now, the last one I've saved the best for last because these are all great, but this one I really want to spend a little bit of time on. The dashboard is built into the Xbox guide. What that means is, let me just explain this to you. It means that the dashboard is built into the Xbox guides. but seriously, what we've done, what the engineers here have done, have basically the dashboard as you know it today. In other words, the blades. You know, we've got the games and live and marketplace and, you know, media and system. We've taken those blades and they have basically moved them to the guide. Every single function that you can do today in the dashboard, you are going to be able to do in the new Xbox experience in the guide. Every single thing is there, except one.
Now I'm trying to I was not prepared for this question. I'm trying to remember what's the one.
The one thing that exists in the new guide that does not exist in the dashboard, ads.
Oh.
In the dashboard. Okay, so in today's dashboard, I'm saying in the guide, you will not have any ads in the guide.
Right. Ads are in the dashboard.
Right, right. So when you press the guide button on the Xbox 360 controller, the new guide will come up, and you're going to be able to do everything in there. You're going to be able to contextually browse Marketplace. Do you know that? So when you have have Gears of War 2 in, or Halo 3 or Avatar, look, I have my copy of Avatar here.
What? You already got that cheap 1,000 gamer score.
I don't know. I was just thinking that.
I'd like to point out, I still do not have that gamer score.
Yeah, you know why. I know why.
I'm still ahead of you.
I know why.
What?
Because when I get ahead of you, I have to get 2,000 ahead of you because you're going to use that as your cheap.
No, I'm not that cheap.
Anyway, the new guide and the new Xbox experience is really robust. So if you've got Halo 3 in there or any game, again, it's all backwards compatible, you're going to be able to go to the marketplace for that section. It's going to lead you right down the path to that section.
Right. It assumes, hey, you're playing Halo 3. Chances are you want to see Halo 3 content.
Right.
And takes you right
so
there.
You'll be able to do all of that stuff. There's some other cool stuff in there that they've been working on. There's this thing called the Quick Launcher. And here's the thing. I'm really excited about the new dashboard because here's what I've been telling people when I was down at E3. Look, I know that there's some people that aren't going to like the new happy, happy, shiny new Xbox experience. They just for whatever reason, it's not flipping their bit.
Yeah. Wait, nobody's going to like everything.
Right. So here's my
everyone's not going
to
like. Yeah.
Here's my message to you. You don't actually have to use it. you can just never go there. Just leave your game disc in, and you're going to be able to pretty much do everything that you could before, but on the guide level, one button press away in every single game.
Very cool.
Does that make sense?
It does to me.
So that's what we're excited about, the dashboards built right into the guide. So you're going to be able to access your full games library. Wherever you are, you'll be able to call up your games and directly launch into a game. So instead of going, you know, pressing the guide button, pressing Y, exit to dashboard, blah, blah, you know, we've all done that dance. You know, you're going to be able to, it's going to be so much quicker.
Yep.
And that's another thing. People, they're optimizing the speed as well. So it's going to be wicked fast, as they say back in the Boston area. It's going to be wicked fast.
I think people, when they get their hands on it for the first time, mm-hmm. are going to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is so much better than I thought. It's really hard to convey when you're not sitting in front of it with a controller.
Right.
It's so nice.
Now, I'm going to work on a video that's going to show this off. I did a little bit of it at E3. But what I want to do is, I don't want to show anything off. I mean, it's pretty much done, but I don't want to, until it's completely code complete and ready to go, I don't want to share it. I mean, people have seen it. I don't want to do an actual video walkthrough yet.
Right. We don't want to get people too excited about something that might change a little bit.
I mean, it's not going to change drastically. Let's be clear.
But look and feel.
Right. So things may be tweaked a little bit here and there, but I want to, but don't worry. I'll have your complete coverage. If you have any questions, email me, major@xbox.com. If I can't answer them, I absolutely will, about the new guide or any of the things that we discussed, the new display support, avatars, prime time, the party system, marketplace on the web, play from hard drive, and then we have a whole list of other things as well.
Yeah, I think that's enough on the new experience for now, but I love the party system.
All right, so the other thing we announced at the briefing, Netflix
support. I am really excited about this one.
Yeah.
So there are basically two prerequisites to use the Netflix support that we announced.
Okay.
Number one, you have to be an Xbox Live Gold user.
Wait a minute. Are you using this? Have you started using it? Are you beta testing it?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. I've used it on my PC.
Okay.
I have not used it via 360. Yet.
Okay. So anyway, you got to be a gold member.
So you have to be a gold member, and you have to have one of the Netflix plans that offers unlimited instant watch or streaming hours.
Okay. All right.
Which basically means all the Netflix plans except the cheapest. The one that I think is $4.99 won't cut it. But the $8.99 and up plans all are good enough.
Right.
So what it lets you do is anything that's available from Netflix for instant watch.
Right.
Which means a bunch of movies, tons of TV shows.
Right.
It probably resonates with a lot of the listeners, really anime heavy in their instant watch collection. A lot of great anime in there.
Right.
You can watch that on your 360.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most impressive things we did, and I did a demo of this, is, you know, you're sitting on the PC, you're playing with your instant queue, and you modify it, and then it automatically changes on the console.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, really graphically snappy. Like, everything rearranges, and it's really cool.
Yep. Now, the really neat tie-in between this and the party system is, if you and your friends all qualify, as in you're all gold, all have Netflix subscriptions, you can watch the same movie simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
same movie or TV show,
mm-hmm.
And be in a chat while you're doing it.
Because what I'm going to do is, I'm not a Netflix subscriber, but mm-hmm. I'll sign up. And then, you know, when you're watching a movie, you can invite me like halfway through the movie, and then I can spend the entire second half of the movie asking you what happened in the first half. I can be that guy.
Yeah, that's really a compelling scenario. Let's get right on that. Wow.
So Netflix is coming. We also announced some other video news. NBC Universal is coming to the Xbox Live Video Marketplace.
Yep, which means not only all the great NBC shows like Heroes,
mm-hmm.
but all the great sci-fi shows like Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of great content in there.
Right. It's really exciting. That means we're going to have Heroes. I talked to Jesse Alexander, who's a fan of the show, good friend of the show.
You mean, like I said, about 15 seconds ago?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
I was just checking. I thought maybe you were doing something
Jesse,
else.
But you didn't mention Jesse, you know, because okay. That's why I want to chat with him. So we're going to go down and do a set visit and see some stars down there. I think I'm going to see him at Comic-Con next week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else do we have here. Do you want to talk about we talked about primetime. Why don't you talk about the big bomb at the end of the show? We have a bunch. Before we get to that, we're gonna talk about Guitar Hero, we got to talk about Rock Band.
Yep.
We got to talk about Lips. Are you ready for Lips?
Yeah, I'm excited about Lips, actually.
Are you?
Most of my friends are not excited that I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a great singing voice,
right?
But I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, it was. I talked to Keijiano, who's the from Innes, who's a big fan of this show.
Well, that's cool, because I think we're both big fans of Elite Beat Agents,
right.
On the DS.
Right, that was one of the games that they're doing. So they're working on Lips, which has these cool microphones with lights on the bottom, and
yes,
and it does this cool stuff. And
so while you're talking about the microphones, I love the way the second player joins in with the second mic.
Right.
That is so cool. So for people who haven't read about this, Lips comes with two motion-sensitive microphones.
Yeah, it's a motion-sensitive controller.
Yep. Person one is up there singing, and someone else goes, you know what? I want to join in and make this a duet. You don't have to like grab a controller and go through a menu to sign in. You just pick the microphone up and shake it, mm-hmm. and boom.
You're off to the races.
Yeah, which is that's so well done.
The other thing that I haven't looked at, you're going to be able to use your Zune or your iPod to use your own play to your own music.
Yes. Now, this is very cool. One thing I do want to point out about this, though, is it only works with non-DRM music.
Yeah, obviously.
If it's DRM music, it can't get to it.
So if you bought the music off iTunes or the Zune store and it's, you know, you're not going to be able to use it.
Right. But if it's, you know, you went and bought CDs at the store and ripped them yourself.
Or you've got them from that crazy thing called the internet somehow.
Or you bought MP3s from Zune.
Or you bought MP3s or Amazon.
Yep, absolutely. Those will work. It doesn't need to do anything, you know, Lip specific. You just plug into the USB port, it'll detect your music, away you go.
That's cool. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to play with that, but I'm really excited about that one.
And the fact that you can just use the game to your favorite tunes and you don't have to wait for specific song support, that's a great idea.
Or maybe not for somebody like me who doesn't have a really good musical taste.
Oh, yeah. We've covered that extensively over the years. Yours is abysmal. I mean, mine is not great, but I'm light years ahead of you.
Anyway, so we also have Guitar Hero World Tour coming out, which people are really excited about that. The president and founder of Activision was on stage to talk about that. Let's see, you know, he had some interesting, you know, they've got they're going to bring Metallica to it. They've got a whole bunch of other stuff they're working on with Guitar Hero World Tour. So that's what people are excited about as well.
I was looking at the song list, mm-hmm. both their song list and the Rock Band 2 song list, mm-hmm. and there's no way I could pick one over the other. I've got to have both.
Right.
Which is like, now I got to rearrange my Rock Band room again.
Yeah, and then we had, we were talking about Alex Rogopoulos, who's the president and CEO of Harmonix, was on stage. And he was talking about Rock Band 2, and they're going to have Rock Band 2 soundtracks, going to have 84 songs on disc. I mean, it's just crazy.
84 and all master recordings, no covers.
All master recordings, no covers. And then they're going to have... Chinese Democracy is finally coming out. Finally?
Right. After
at this rate, we're going to have Duke Nukem by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So Chinese Democracy is going to be coming out. They're going to have that. They're going to have that there. And they announced AC/DC is coming. Dylan, Metallica, Pearl Jam. Just the list for guitar for Rock Band 2 is just going to be, it's off the hook.
And I want to give Harmonix kudos for what they're doing for Rock Band 1 customers.
Why don't you explain
this
that?
This is very cool. So all your Rock Band 1 DLC... all those songs you bought off Xbox Live Marketplace
mm-hmm.
will just work mm-hmm. on Rock Band 2. There's nothing special you have to do. And then on top of that, the Harmonix guys have gone out of their way to create a path by which you can, for a yet undetermined fee, but which they've said will be under $5, you'll be able to export the songs, almost all of the songs, off your Rock Band 1 disc onto your hard drive, and then play them in Rock Band 2 without having to change games.
That's cool.
And, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I could have very easily seen them go, you know what, this is going to be too hard, there's all the licensing deals, it's just not
worth
it. And they're doing it anyways, and they deserve big props for that.
Well done there. So that's that was tons of musical announcements.
Yeah, tons of
And then what was really topped it off was the fact we had one of E's, as far as I know, one of his favorite artists ever on stage, Duffy.
Right. Yeah, when she hopped up on stage, so for our press briefing, we had a big get-together in the cafeteria here on campus.
Right, because not everybody from the Xbox team was able to go down, because frankly, they're
not
here.
Not many went.
Right, they're working on the stuff.
Yeah, most of us were back here, but during the press briefing, we got together and watched it in the cafeteria on the big screen.
Yep.
And when she came on stage, I will confess, I had no idea who she was, and I was asking people sitting around me, you have any idea who this is?
She's a huge hit in Europe.
A bunch of people knew,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, oops. So
watch it, your age is showing.
Yeah.
And then we finished off the show with the CEO of Square Enix, Yoshi Wada, was on stage talking about Infinite on Discovery, Star Ocean, The Last Hope, The Last Remnant. And then the big bomb, E, I'll let you explain that
one. Oh, yes. One more announcement. Yes. Final Fantasy 13 is coming to the Xbox 360, and this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of details to the announcements around which regions. Like, it's going to be on 360 in North America and Europe, mm-hmm. but not in Japan. But when it comes out to North America and Europe, I believe what he said was it'll happen at the same time as it comes out on PS3 mm-hmm. in those regions.
That's pretty good.
And yeah, and just getting Final Fantasy at all, much less Simship,
sure,
that's huge for our customers.
So we're excited about that, and that was a fun little surprise announcement towards the end.
There were a ton of announcements in there. I mean, that one certainly won the most surprising announcement.
Right.
Not many people, I think, knew about that one before it happened. But there were some others, like the sequel to Portal mm-hmm. coming to Xbox Live Arcade. Yeah. Portal's still alive.
When the lights went out and the audio came up, the whole audience went bananas.
Oh yeah, I mean
bananas.
You know what a big fan I am. I dressed as a companion cube for Halloween last year.
Right, right.
I mean, I love Portal.
You just, but you do it frequently, like once every month. You just show up in that outfit, just randomly.
No, I've never worn it again, but. Anyways, huge fan of that. Portal was great. I'm really excited to see that we're getting more Portal. It's got achievements.
South Park game coming.
South Park game is coming.
Yeah, we've got, you know, I've got extensive notes. I was Twittering this. For those of you that were following me on Twitter, you know that I was pretty much dead on. Whenever I do these events, just keep an eye on my Twitter. And as long as Twitter's up, then everything's fine. And it stayed up, thank God.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it stayed up. So that was kind of cool. And then so that's the Microsoft press briefing. That was tough.
And we didn't even cover everything.
We
didn't talk about Gears. We didn't talk about Fallout.
Fallout, yeah.
So
there's so much more coming. It's going to be great. Nintendo was the next day. Now, I was invited. I was not able to attend.
That was very nice of them to invite you.
Yeah, they're wonderful folks over there. There was a nice, they invited me, but it was way up at the other end of town, and I had a bunch of videos I had to do. I was scheduled.
I mean, we should probably point out for people who don't really closely follow E3, there's a lot of people out there that I think, you know, believe that, oh, we'd never talk to Sony, we'd never talk to Nintendo, they wouldn't talk to us, they don't talk to each other.
Right.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to see what they're up to, they want to see what we're up to, we're all curious, we're all interested.
I mean, to your point, I made a post on the blog about this last week when I was on my way back from Los Angeles. I mean, we had Reggie from Nintendo come by.
Yep.
He came by the Xbox booth. I'm sure some of our team went over there.
Oh yeah.
You know, we had Reggie come by. We have there's a lot of you can go up and read the post. I think it was called like a detente at E3. But there was a lot going on. I mean, we do, to Eric's point, we actually do share a lot of we're very, very respectful of what everyone else is. Miyamoto came by our booth. He came by to take a look at some stuff. I met up with Jeff Rubenstein, who runs the PlayStation blog. He gave me a tour of the Sony booth, and then I came over to gave him a tour of our booth. So there was a lot going on. And then I saw James Stevens from Insomniac. It's always good to see him.
Yep.
There's absolutely a lot going on, and we're always talking. We want to see what they're up to. We're all gamers.
Absolutely.
That's the most important thing. So do you want to go over Nintendo stuff?
Sure. So, and this is, I don't know their announcements nearly as well as I know ours, so I'm going to miss some things.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize in advance. It's not intentional. I'm doing this purely off the top of my head. There's the Motion Plus, I think it's called. There's the little add-on for the Wiimote.
Right.
That you snap into the bottom that gives it basically greater accuracy.
Right.
Which is going to be used in I don't know which games. Mm-hmm. Interesting add-on. The thing that I noticed that, and I don't know how many people this bugs other than me. Way back, I bought a third-party charger for my Wiimotes.
Right.
Where you replace the battery pack in the back.
Right.
And then you just stick it in the charger and it charges automatically. Really cool. Well, okay. It's not going to fit in there anymore with this little thing on it.
That's a drag.
Yeah. But I'm really curious to try it. I hope there are games that you can use with and without the Motion Plus so you could really actually see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty neat. When they made their Animal Crossing for Wii announcement, they mm-hmm. announced it's going to come bundled with a little, I guess you could call it a speakerphone dongle.
Right.
That looks very much like the Scenic remote, for people who know what that looks like. It wasn't entirely clear to me how it's going to get used, but it's basically, it's a microphone that's designed to be used at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And how exactly the games are going to interact with it, Not really sure, but should be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They announced a bunch of games, like Animal Crossing for the Wii was one of the big ones. I know some Animal Crossing freaks who are going to be very excited about that one.
Right.
Let's see, what else did they announce? GTA for DS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else is coming. That's what I've got off the top of my head.
And then we will stroll right into Sony. I attended the Sony briefing down at the Shrine Auditorium.
Oh, okay. That's a nice place.
Yeah. Ran into Peter Moore.
Oh,
it's funny. I didn't tell you this. We were walking in and I saw Peter Moore and he and I were chatting. And I'm sure there's some photos out there because a lot of people were taking photos of us.
Yeah.
That was I didn't even notice because Peter and I, it's the first time actually we've actually seen each other. We've chatted. It's the first time we've seen each other since he left last year. So literally I haven't seen him for a year.
Was that a year ago?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's been a long year. It was great to just really chat with him very, very briefly. We ran in. I was sitting probably third. No, it wasn't one. I think I was the third row back at the Sony briefing, right in front of the Insomniac guys. I was just talking about those guys.
Yeah.
And I was sitting right there, and they had a they came out. They had a beautiful set. It's 70. I think it was 72 screens on stage.
I was reading about that. I was trying as much as I could while I was here at work. I was. Following Joystick's live blogging of both Nintendo and the Sony conference.
Right.
And they were talking about that before the show started.
Yeah.
About, wow, look at all these TVs.
And they're big, small, they're all different sizes. But yeah. So Jack came out and did a talk through it. They showed some gameplay. They talked about the update to the PlayStation Store that is going to include movies, and they showed off some studios. They talked about the ability to move movies that you purchased to your PSP. They didn't demo it, so I don't understand how that works. I don't have a PSP. You do.
I do. I haven't used it in probably 2 years. Honestly, I use my DS as my portable gaming system.
So they talked about that. They did the best thing they did there in the spring, which was really cool, was when they're talking about the numbers of the past year, the PS3 and whatnot.
Yeah,
they used Little Big Planet to show it off, and that was just fun. I wanted that to keep going.
That was very creative.
Yeah,
that was nicely.
I was just sitting there, and it was just nothing but fun. And they shut off. They shut off where they show their DC game, the DC Comics game.
Right.
They shut off Resistance 2.
Yes.
What else did they show off? Oh, what's that? The 254 person game.
Mag, which is being developed here in Seattle by Zipper.
Yeah, I looked at that, and I for anybody who's been on Xbox Live, and I know a lot of you have, I looked at that and said, more people doesn't necessarily mean funner game.
Right.
That's the only thing I looked at when I said that.
Now
it depends how they're going to handle it.
My understanding is the way it works is it's squads of eight. Mm-hmm. So no squad is ever bigger than eight, and you're competing against other squads of eight.
Okay, that makes sense.
I still have a bunch of questions about implementation. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't really, I don't really have my head wrapped around it. That's a hard thing to do, but those are smart guys.
Yeah, so we'll have to take a look at that. And that was the Sony briefing. I saw a bunch of people there. God, that's where I ran into everybody. Brian Crescente from Kotaku and the guys from Joystick.
So the one thing I want to touch on, just because I love this kind of, it's not fair to call it marketing speak, but whatever. The price cut that's not a price cut.
Ours?
So, no, Sony's.
Okay.
Because they said they're not having a price cut.
Right.
But they're getting rid of one of their SKUs and changing the mix. So going into E3, they had two models.
Mm-hmm.
There was the 40 gig
mm-hmm.
with no back compat, no, none of the like memory card slots and all
right,
that
none
stuff.
None of the extras.
Right. And then there was the 80 gig unit at $499, again, U.S. dollars, that had the compact flash slots and all that other stuff. So they're getting rid of the $499 one. They'll only have the $399 one. It'll have an 80 gig hard drive, but the features of the 40 gig, meaning it won't have
hardware emulation, right?
No, not even software emulation. No PS2 back compat at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's how they're getting it down to $399.
Oh, gee.
It's interesting because they're going from... I mean, technically, it's not a price cut, but it sure looks like a price cut, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But, hey, $399 for a really good Blu-ray player is a nice deal if you want to buy Blu-rays. I'm glad I got the 60-gig unit with hardware back compat when I got mine.
So that was Sony's briefing, and then afterwards I milled around for a little bit and saw a bunch of old friends. You know who I ran into? I'm going to tell this story. I've told you this story. Okay. I've not publicly told this story. I'm going to tell this story now.
Okay.
I ran into Veronica Belmont from Core.
Yes. This is a great story.
So this is... Internet, get ready to have your mind blown. So I ran into Veronica Belmont at Core. She and I have been exchanging emails. Core is kind of is a downloadable magazine. You can, if you're a PS3 owner, you can download this and you could purchase
it's kind of like Inside Xbox, but it's subscription.
Right, subscription, and it's kind of, but it isn't. Anyway, it's put on by Future Networks. So I ran into Veronica and we were chatting. Well, over the course of the week and a half leading up to E3, when she and I were chatting, I got her into the Xbox briefing, by the way. We're chatting out there in the courtyard after the Sony briefing, and we were talking about the fact, and this internet, you're now going to know this.
This is amazing.
We used to work together. This is a true story. She was an intern who worked for somebody who used to work for me when I was in charge of a series of radio stations back in Connecticut.
Which is just, what are the chances of that?
And so we had connected these dots, and it was really unbelievable. It was funny as hell when we made that connection.
Yeah. When you told me that, I was just like, no way.
Yeah, she used to do some stuff on the air, and then she worked a little bit in promotions, which as she and I, she's like, that means I worked for you. I'm like, yeah, kind of, I guess. So, but, you know, she did some on-air stuff, and she's just fantastic. I really enjoy chatting with her. I have a great photo of. I sent you the photo, right?
You did. Yeah.
I didn't put it up on Flickr, but I have a great photo of she and I together. So she's just everybody over there that works on, everybody I met at the briefing and worked for Core for Sony. Everyone's just so wonderful, nice.
Yeah, very cool.
So that's kind of the story there. What else do we have up on the big board?
I saw your MSN message. I think you Twittered a little bit about it.
Yeah.
What was the deal with your hotel in LA?
I'm not going to out this hotel, but you can
tell me later.
It was just, the hotel was, it's one of those hotels you move, you stay at and you just, things don't feel clean.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, the hotel I was talking with, I think it was Ricardo from GameSpot, because GameSpot was there as well. And he had the best quote. He said, it's like living inside of an old lady's handbag.
Oh.
It smelled it. It just felt like it. It was just, oh, it was bad.
That's nasty.
So one of the problems with this hotel, we had our production facility there. Not only were we staying there, but we had our for Xbox.com and Inside Xbox, we had a production facility, which is really just a conference room with high speed connectivity where we can all edit video and whatnot.
Right. And upload it.
And provide the full coverage. Well, the internet sucked. And I was talking about this because the hotel clearly was not prepared for what we were doing.
Right. They had dial up.
And come to find out, they have three T1s going in there. But they were so many people that needed access to the internet, they were just completely overloaded.
Yeah, three T1s these days. That, I mean, a T1 used to be a big deal.
Right.
Most people have way more bandwidth on their cable connection.
Right. So this is, so it just wasn't working. So I did something a little MacGyver.
Okay,
and I'm going to make
involve a Swiss Army knife and chewing gum.
I'm going to put a post on this later next week when I have more details, because I've asked for details. I got in touch with somebody that I know in Los Angeles who is a geek's geek, and I said, dude, I'm in trouble.
Ooh,
okay. I need to get some real bandwidth into this place. He says, well, where are you? I told him. He says, I'll be there in an hour. I said, all right. So,
okay.
So I'm working in there. Shows up at the door. He comes in. I see him. We say hello. We walk in. He kind of surveys the room. Goes outside. Comes back. He says, I can get you online with an OC3 in about 12 hours. I said, are you going
to... For anyone who's ever tried to order network connectivity,
right,
their mind was just blown.
Right. I said, are you going to drop it in the room? He says, kind of. I said, okay. So he goes off. I'm not going to give you his name. I'm not going to tell you where he works. He comes back the next day, and there's this mysterious blue cord just coming in through the window. into a hub.
Oh,
it goes into the hub.
This is going.
And it goes into the hub, and we're all plugged into the hub, and I'm like, cool. So I go to speedtest.net. Holy crap. I've got literally like unbelievable. It's like off the charts.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want to tell you his name. I said, so what do we do here? Long story short was, he knows people who knows people and we were, the wire was going out onto the roof of the hotel.
His name's not Fox Mulder, is it?
And listen, he goes out to the hotel and mounted onto the hotel. I go out onto the roof with him. He's showing this.
Yeah.
Out onto the hotel is a microwave transceiver. I said, where's that going?
One lying around.
I said, where's that going? He hands me binoculars and says, down there. And I put the binoculars up. He says, see that building? I said, yeah. He says, okay, go up to the top floor. Go to, and there's another one of these things. Literally, it's got to be a mile, probably half a mile away.
Right.
That's where it's receiving. And I said, oh, so you got it in there. He says, oh, no. It comes out of that. It comes down out of that transceiver, goes along the roof to the other side of the of that building that I can't see because it's behind another building.
Right.
Now it gets crazy. You ready for this? There's a laser beam. And he has the laser beam pointed someplace else. That's, I don't know how this is working.
That's awesome.
And he's going to send me a write-up of everything of how it works, and I've got photos of it.
I mean, I have seen setups like that before.
Right.
I've never seen them done on 12 hours notice.
It was
amazing.
It was this was so the biggest question a lot of people ask me, how much did it cost? It wasn't that expensive. But the fact of the matter is I'm a get it done kind of guy. So my team was having trouble with their connectivity. I was having trouble with the connectivity and I got it done.
That's amazing.
So it was all completely legal. Yes. I want to point that out. It was all completely legal.
That doesn't mean that if you see one of these setups, you should step in
front of it. And it was all completely licensed and legal.
Very good.
Okay. So we are above the law. We're not above the law.
Right.
We were all within regulations here. So, but when you see these photos, make the post next week and you see some of these photos of me sitting next to this transmitter on this microwave transmitter on the roof.
I'm just blown away by the speed at which they got it done.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, you have to remember with something like that, that to me is a metagame.
Well,
I want to figure this out. That's the way I get going. I'm like, I got to figure it out. I can do this.
Yeah,
I can do this.
And, I mean, many, many times I've had to order, you know, network connectivity.
Right.
Either for a trade show or just, hey, for us, we need, you know, some more gigis or we need some distance, whatever. Normally that kind of stuff takes months.
Yeah.
And it can take many months sometimes. I've had some network connectivity take 6 months. In 12 hours, he brought up a microwave and a laser link.
Connected where to God knows where on an OC3 level stable connection. And this thing was, and everybody on my team was like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, you're damn right, this is great.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
It was like, whoa. So that was my fun thing.
You got to introduce me to this guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a secret weapon, trust me. So I did that. And then Wednesday night, we were invited Sean over, who's the community manager for Harmonix, who I finally met, who's just fantastic. Invited me to the Rock Band party. Now
this sounded so cool.
Now the Rock Band party. Is this the part where I tell you I had you a ticket for you?
Oh,
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. This was the one thing as I was reading about E3. This was the one thing where I was really like, oh God, I wish I was there more than anything
else. So we go to the Rock Band party, which is at this, I think it was the Orpheum Theater in downtown Los Angeles. Little sketchy part of town, I got to tell you.
Really?
But that's okay.
Okay.
We go down there and, you know, they're playing Rock Band in one of the rooms. And so on stage performing.
Right.
The Who.
So it wasn't someone playing The Who on Rock Band.
It was
The Who playing
for this audience. And there was only a couple thousand people there at the most.
So basically a private showing of The Who.
It was exactly what it was.
Wow.
So I'm there with Trixie. I'm there with Colin, our .com, Xbox.com editor, and a couple other people. And, you know, John Shepard was there, and all the team was there. And everybody was there.
Yep.
And we've got some great seats. We're just a few rows back. And I knew when I was going, because I've done a lot of shows in my life. I've done a lot of shows. And I knew when I was walking in that they had buckets of earplugs. And I grabbed them. And Trixie's like, you don't need those. I'm going, yeah, because I don't know if you know this, but The Who actually broke, I believe they're in the Guinness World Book of Records for the loudest concert ever.
Really?
Yeah. So I said, I'm taking these. So I take my earplugs.
That's the kind of thing where you see those there. It's like, those are there for a reason.
Exactly. So I grab them, I stuff them in, and they did about an hour and a half set, and it was phenomenal. I mean, they did all the hits, and it was fascinating because, you know, Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey are up there, you know, and they're just having a conversation with the audience. They're like stopping, hey, what's going on? We love you guys. You know, hey, who decides the color of the buttons on the guitar? Because they're wrong. They need to be something else. Who is, oh, that's you guy? I mean, they're having this conversation with the audience. It was fascinating. I'll tell you the weirdest thing, and anybody that was there that's listening to this knows this. So Roger Daltrey is singing, and you know, he's doing his thing. I have never seen this before. He had a can of Coca-Cola on the ground in front of him. And he literally picks it up and he's swigging in between songs. And at one point, he's actually holding the can of Coca-Cola and like taking belts of it in between refrains, you know, in between the chorus of the song.
Well, I do that when during Rock Band, but not for an audience.
But wow. It was just weirdly weird because I figure, you know, when I drink Coke or Diet Coke, I mean, I'm just burping like crazy. I can't drink it before I record the show because I'm like, bruh.
Whereas I have a Diet Coke right here.
Right. So it's just, it was one of the funniest things, but they were fantastic. They were unbelievable.
He was obviously very relaxed.
Very relaxed. He's drinking tea. He's having a conversation with the audience. You know, they were having a great time. They did all the hits, although they get through Pinball Wizard. So they're doing Pinball Wizard.
I love that song.
They're doing Pinball Wizard. And, you know, we're all the places rocking along Pinball. Stop. Literally, as if on beat, somebody pulled the plug. Stop.
Mid song.
I look over at Pete Townsend. He broke a guitar string. It's all like mangled. Mm-hmm. And he says, I couldn't quite hear them, but he said basically something effective that he was having trouble getting into the groove of that song right there. And that the guitar string basically had pity on him and broke. So they stopped. You know, instantly the roadie comes out, gives him another one, and then they start playing another song. So they never finished Pinball Wizard. They just boom,
really?
Gone. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I would have been disappointed because that may be my all-time favorite Who song.
Yeah.
So
it was, but it was pretty extraordinary. I mean, they just stopped and away they went. It was pretty outrageous. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful party. I mean, come on. You have the Who at a party. A private party.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
God, it was unbelievable. Oh, anyway, it was a lot of fun. So
yeah, that makes me wish I had found a way to get there.
The other thing I didn't do this year at E3, which, you know, I've done in years past, is I always take a ton of pictures and put them up, and I didn't do that this year because everybody has, you know, Godfrey for Gamertag Radio or Joystick or 360 Fanboy or whatever, or Kotaku. Everybody's got this thing covered like a tent.
Yeah, E3 is really well done. Like I said, the live blogging for the press conferences, tons of stories, lots of pictures.
So it's one of those things where I'm like, you know what? There's so many other places out there that can do it. I mean, I'm happy to put up photos. You know, I've got that photo of Veronica that I should probably put up. There's a few more photos, definitely the photos of this crazy MacGyver-like internet connectivity that I was working through.
Yeah, I want to see those.
Yeah, it was crazy. So there's definitely some stuff, but everybody's got it covered. And they all do such a better job than I could ever do. And so I want to thank you know, the Kotakus and the Joysticks and the fanboys of the world, because they were just doing great, great stuff.
Yep.
So that's kind of what's going on there. E, do you have anything else we want to add? Because you and I have been pretty much going at this one forever, and I think almost done, right?
I can't think of anything else that's jumping out at me that was...
You know what I want to talk about?
E3.
You know what I want to talk about is this phone. So I'm using...
Oh, yeah, you were raving about
that. I am using the Sprint Trio 800W, which, let me just tell you something. So I'm on Singular. I have a Singular phone. I have this one right here, the Q9. This is Q9H, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I got to borrow this Trio, and what I loved about the Trio was, you know, last week everybody is now buying tons of iPhones.
Right.
So everyone's on the Singular network.
Yeah.
So I had not that I had problems on the Singular network, but it was great to be on the Trio, the Sprint network.
Right. Because, just in case.
So I had this Trio 800, and I just love that phone. I just love that phone.
Now, you were using this as a modem, right?
No, I actually have this device over here.
Oh, you haven't seen this one. Broadband cards.
Yeah, so this one I have is the Sprint Novation Wireless U727.
Okay.
So that's this.
Okay, so you're raving about that phone as a phone.
As a phone.
I got you.
I don't even need. I was using that as a modem, and I was getting pretty good speeds with that modem, but the phone was just dead nuts great. It was a lot of fun. So I'm taking all this equipment with me to Comic-Con next week. So let's talk about Comic-Con. I'm going to be down there Wednesday through Sunday. We'll be doing a Bring It at Home for Comic-Con.
E will not be there.
E will not be at Comic-Con. The guys from Penny Arcade will be there. I'm going to bring my equipment. I think I'm going to probably record some shows down there. If I run into anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I did Red versus Blue last year.
Yep.
So I'll see if I can run into somebody.
I know several of the RVB people will be down there. Gabe and Tycho, yeah. A bunch of people.
Although Gabe and Tycho, they never have time for me because they're always so busy with their fans. I mean, I can go see those guys anytime.
Right.
Assuming they let me in the building. So I'm going to be down at Comic-Con. We'll be doing some good stuff. If you're going to Comic-Con, send me an email or post on the blogs, hopefully post on the blog, because I'd love to, maybe we'll do a meet and eat. I don't know.
When are we going to do our Seattle meet and eat?
Yeah,
we keep talking about that.
I know, we do keep talking about that.
We got to do that.
We're lame.
We need to just pick a date.
Maybe in August. Yeah. So maybe I'll do a meet and eat down in San Diego. Last time I was only there for 2 days, and I'm going to be there for 5. Yeah, I'm tired. I got to be honest with you. I'm pretty tired.
Oh, I'm going to go home and actually take a nap right after we're done recording here.
No, I got to put the show together. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah.
That's why you're the host and I'm the co-host.
That's why I'm the host and you're not. All right, so we're gonna wrap it up right now, eh?
Okay.
Can we do that?
Because Merry E3 to everyone.
This was a show that really was not a normal show. You know, we didn't do any of the normal features. We're gonna do that hopefully in a couple weeks when I get back.
Yeah.
It's been a little crazy, but I wanted to have a show after E3 to kind of walk through some of what I experienced at E3. Kind of clarify some of the announcements and explain them because there's a lot of questions. If you have any other questions, feel free to post on the blog or send me an email, major@xbox.com, and then we'll pretty much do that. How's that sound, D?
Works for me.
All right. I'm going to say thanks to my friends at centricom.net, providing majornelson.com with that secured and assured hosting environment. Also thanking CashFly for their services. They made sure that you could get the Xbox briefing in this show and many others just like it when you want it and where you want it. So this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun and play fairy, and remember to send feedback or
file a complaint.
And then we'll talk to you. Well, when we talk to you, thanks for listening. We'll see you at Comic-Con. Bye bye.